Welcome to Between the Rows, where you get to hear the stories behind the stories in Canada's leading farm publications. Today, the Western Producer's Barb Glenn reports on prairie fires that devastated several ranches in southeast Alberta.
So the feeling there was that the Army base has not been a good neighbor and something should be done to improve relationships.
Grain News reporter Lisa Gunther looks at a father and son invention that can help minimize lost grain at harvest time.
Pretty much went viral on Twitter, and what we thought we'd sell for the whole season, we sold that day.
And Commodity News Service Canada's Phil France Workington looks at the markets.
From a technical chart standpoint, you could be bearish or bullish and take what you want from the charts right now.
All on Between the Rows with this week's host, Ed White.
Hello and welcome to Between the Rows. I'm Ed White, your host this week. Farmers and ranchers on the Western Prairies have faced a crippling drought this year. It damaged a lot of crops this summer. It also created perfect conditions for prairie fires. That's exactly what ranchers in southeast Alberta faced after a massive fire broke out on Canadian Forces Base Suffield on September 11th, and there have been more fires since. The first fire spread far beyond the base. It devastated ranches and killed cattle. Joining us now to talk about where this leaves ranchers for the upcoming winter and their future is Barb Glenn, the Western Producers Lethbridge reporter and livestock section editor. Hi, Barb, and welcome to Between the Rows.
Hello, Ed.
Barb, can you just sum up for us what the Suffield fire did and what's happened since and where these things went?
Well, the Suffield fire began on the evening of September 11th, and it started on the base where it spread. It burned a large part of the base itself and then spread to community pastures and some private land, and in total burned about 90,000 acres. It was one of those really swiftly moving prairie grass fires, and it killed an estimated, I believe the latest count was 120 cattle. And it burned one rancher's home and outbuildings.
And where does this leave ranchers for the winter, considering we're moving right into the cold season where not a lot of feed can be produced?
Well, some of them, most of them lost, I guess those affected by the fire lost their winter grazing, and some of them lost stored feed and bales in the field. There were some reports of bales sitting in the field smoking. So as far as I know, I don't know where they're going to get their feed.
Yeah, I imagine that would make you a little bit anxious. This season is the worst time to go into winter with less than you might want.
Yeah.
You attended a meeting of local people hit by the fire right after it tore through in the Suffield area. How are they doing?
They were very upset, and some of them were angry, but the feeling was dissatisfaction, discontent with how the Army base interacts with the community. CFB Suffield has been there for many years, Canadian Forces Base. They do training. But over the years, they've been responsible, I was told, for a number of fires that have spread from the base to private land. And there is also the ongoing issue of the large elk herd on the base, which they've been unable to control the populations of those animals, and they get into ranchers' feed. So the feeling there was that the Army base has not been a good neighbor, and something should be done to improve relationships, certainly, and hopefully to make them accountable for some of the losses that ranchers sustained in this recent fire.
I think of ranchers as people who don't always like revealing their emotions or asking for help. How can they get help, or how can people get help to them if they need it?
In the case of the Bindloss fire in the southeast, the base has undertaken an investigation, and I suppose there is a possibility that these ranchers might receive some compensation for their losses. That remains unclear. In the case of the other fire that got a lot of public attention, and that is the one in the southwest in Waterton area. There have been a lot of donations coming in of hay, fencing supplies, etc. So, and there's also a website set up for them for anyone wanting to make donations. Donations can also be made at Alberta Treasury branches. So there, you know, there are various efforts underway, but as far as any government assistance, that remains to be seen.
And I believe you were just out at the southwest, the Waterton fire. What did you see there?
I saw several ranches that have been burned. Five ranches in total were drastically affected by that fire, and most of them lost most of their homes, outbuildings, corrals, and any stored feed that they had. There was a massive work bee there this weekend, like September 23rd, 24th, with over 300 volunteers, and they were able to erect a lot of perimeter fence so these ranchers can contain their cattle for the winter. Donations were coming in, and then they still have to do some cross-fencing, and some of these folks have to figure out where they're going to live. But the community's rallying, which was really heartwarming to see.
Well, thanks for joining us today, Barb, and going through this troubling situation for us.
You're welcome, Ed. Thank you.
Barb Glenn is the Western Producers Lethbridge reporter and its livestock section editor. For Barb's coverage and some moving but upsetting photographs of the situation, you can go to www.producer.com. This is Between the Rows. I'm Ed White. Combines are rolling across the prairies. That means farmers across the prairies are worried about losing crop out the back of the combine. But how do you measure how much you're losing? Grain News reporter Lisa Gunther brings us a story about a product that could help answer that question.
How much grain are you leaving in the field? It was a question on the minds of Trevor Sherman and his father Pat every year. Eventually, it drove them to create a product to measure those harvest losses, Trevor tells me.
We farm about 4,500 acres near Battleford, Saskatchewan, and like any good invention, it come between a father and a son, and discussion slash argument in the field about what our combine losses were and efficient use of the combine and where that fine line was of how fast can we go and how much crop can we afford to leave in the field.
The Shermans dubbed their product the SureGain Solution System. The SureGain includes a magnetic drop pan that attaches to the back of most combines in about 4 seconds, Trevor says. Once the combine is running and the choppers are off, a farmer switches off the magnets with a remote control. The pan drops, catching the lost grain. Farmers then clean out the debris and pour the grain into a gauge. The product also comes with a chart, so farmers can factor in the header width and crop type to figure out their losses.
So were you surprised when you tried it out yourself about like what your harvest losses were?
Yes, we were very surprised. And having been in the industry for 17 years and running equipment, obviously, on our own farm, the manufacturers are talking acres an hour, whether that be red or green or yellow, whatever color. It's acres an hour and horsepower this. But once we get into fine crops like canola, we don't need all that horsepower. We need to properly thrash. We just found people were running it to the power and losing a lot over the end.
Unless a farmer measures those losses, it's hard to know how much yield is blown out the back of a combine. But the Canola Council of Canada estimates that some canola growers could be leaving 5 bushels per acre in the field. And a 4 or 5 bushel loss adds up.
You know, the commodity is quite often $10. You know, so all of a sudden you're leaving 4 bushel in the field. That's $40 an acre. And you know, just by slowing down, can you bring that down to 10? If you can get to under a bushel, that's a comfortable loss for your efficiency and your cost of operation.
Trevor says the SureGain was 7 years in the making. They launched it at Canola Palooza in Saskatoon this past June.
And it pretty much went viral on Twitter. And what we thought we'd sell for the whole season, we sold that day. We had people asking from Australia, Brazil, France, Paraguay. So it's been pretty amazing. Lots of people have been looking for a product like this, and we finally, I guess, hit it on the heads.
For more information on the SureGain Solution System, pick up the September issue of Grain News.
We had people asking from Australia, Brazil, France, Paraguay. So it's been pretty amazing. Lots of people have been looking for a product like this, and we finally, I guess, hit it on the head.
For more information on the SureGain solution system, pick up the September issue of Grain News.
That was Lisa Gunther, Saskatchewan field editor of Grain News. This is Between the Rows. I'm Ed White. It's fall. It's been dry. It's been raining. Farmers are still harvesting. That all affects the markets. To unpack today's market conditions for us is Phil Franz-Workington of Commodity News Service, who joins us now. Hello, Phil, and welcome to Between the Rows.
Hi, Ed. Thanks for having me.
So, Phil, what's going on out there with farmers' fields, and how is that affecting the markets?
In farmers' fields in Western Canada, the last week or so, it's been on the cooler and wetter side, and that's caused some delays, and that's been fairly across the board in many parts of Western Canada. Any kind of harvest delays due to that is somewhat supportive, although here in Manitoba, as far as canola is concerned, at least the crop is pretty much mostly harvested, canola, but moving west into Saskatchewan and Alberta, there's still more to go. So but it's more kind of it's still early, relatively speaking. There's, you know, still some time before it's officially winter, despite some snow in Edmonton last week. So there is still time, and overall the market is finding some support from any time weather delays get talked up, but not really seeing that much support and sort of holding sideways overall.
And are farmers finding time right now to deliver grain into the system, or are they just binning it for later?
There's definitely active deliveries. The Canadian Grain Commission, their weekly numbers are, in the last week, there was over 500,000 tons of canola delivered into the system. Other crops as well, we're seeing big deliveries. Canola had over 600,000 the week before, so those are all sort of near record weekly levels as far as canola is concerned, deliveries into the commercial pipeline. So even though there might be some delays going on, that's not delaying movement into the commercial system. It's active there. There's lots of canola on hand that may be another factor limiting any upside in prices, because there's not a lot of reason to bid up the market right now when there's all this newly harvested crop out there.
Yeah, I'll bet when it's raining for a couple of days and you can't do any harvesting or combining, delivering grain might not seem like such a bad thing to do.
Exactly.
Is the new crop getting offshore yet?
There's export business going on as well. I think we're fairly much in line with what was happening last year as far as exports to date. Last week, Pakistan was being talked up in the market as sort of making a couple extra purchases. So there and there, and China's always in there, and Japan, and so the canola is sort of steady on the export front, and at home the crushers are still pretty active as well. Running at pretty decent pace so far. Only I think a bit behind what they were doing last year at this time, but still. A lot of canola moving both offshore and locally.
And I was looking at some canola charts yesterday. Wow. Talk about flat and getting flatter.
Yeah.
What's with this narrowing range of prices around the $500 mark?
$500, I guess $497 is the 200-day moving average. So it's sort of, today it's a little bit right below that, but it is sort of longer range, 480 to 520, kind of a $40 range there, and we're right smack in the middle of it pretty much. And it's going to take something other than anything on the foreseeable horizon as far as canola specifically is concerned to break it out of that. It's been in that range for months, I think, and not. And as the harvest goes on, it's kind of a wait and see sort of time of year. And so maybe if something happens elsewhere, like the U.S. soybeans, their harvest is just getting underway, that could move something. But yeah, from a technical chart standpoint, not. You could be bearish or bullish and take what you want from the charts right now, because there's not sideways is the general consensus, I'd say, right now.
And our canola harvest is getting done pretty well right now. Lots of it has already come in, and it's really going whenever it's dry out there. This is also the time of the year when our dastardly competitors to the south and to the way, way south can affect our markets in a big way with what they're either taking off the fields or putting into them. What are they doing right now?
The U.S., their soybean crop is just coming off the... The latest weekly report had soybeans at about 10% harvested, so that's just a little bit behind average for this time of year. But it's their crop is starting to come off, and by all sort of anecdotal reports coming in so far, is that yields are a bit better than had been expected, at least on the early stuff. So that's something a bit weighing on the market, or the U.S. side of things right now. And in the far, far south, South America, they're just getting started seeding their next crop. So that's something to watch. Brazil has been on the dry side, so they're kind of concerned about germination, I guess, in some areas there. While farther south in Argentina, the problem is too much moisture. So it brings its own set of problems. So, you know, as North America's harvest wraps up, the tension turns south as their crop growing season just gets underway. And we'll see if any as news comes out of there could move our markets one way or the other.
Hard red spring wheat has been a real delight to anybody who has lots in the bin or lots in the field. Where does it look like it could go from here?
It's been going up. I'm just looking, it's up about 25 cents over the past week. And where it goes from here, I guess, remains to be seen. But it is the issues there are... the drought issues in the North Dakota, Montana, so they have a smaller crop, and they're concerned over supplies of higher protein wheat. That's lent the hard red contracts a bit of support compared to the other wheats traded in the U.S. So that kind of spills over to Canadian markets as well, so we'll see where it goes from here. But it is a supportive influence, but the issue in the background is that while there may be some, you know, protein premiums and that kind of thing, world wheat supplies in the bigger picture, there's still a fair bit of wheat out there. Russia is getting talked up as having a bigger crop than had been expected out there, so they're already exporting into the world market at more than they have in recent years.
Now, that's already a lot of factors in the marketplace that we've just talked about, but our old loony flaps its way into this situation, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Right now, I think today it's at about 81 cents. That's down from 82 cents a week ago, but... So anytime the loonie goes down a bit, that's supportive for Canadian prices. So 81 is better for our exports than 82. But, you know, looking back a bit, beginning of July, it was 77 cents. So we're up a fair bit from that. So on the balance, the currency's pretty at 81 cents today. It's at some of its strongest levels it's been in the recent history. So that's a bit of a bearish influence in the background, limiting what strength we may see compared to U.S. Crops right now.
Well, thanks for joining us today, Phil.
You're welcome.
Phil Franz-Workington covers markets for Commodity News Service. That's all we have time for this week. I'm Ed White. This is Between the Rows. Have a safe harvest, everybody.
Between the Rows is a production of Glacier Farm Media, Canada's leading farm publisher. We'd love to hear what you think of the show and invite you to send your comments to btr@farmmedia.com or visit us at membersgetmore.ca and sign up today.